There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live talks education.
We are talking all about science and education today. Our guest, Ilham Sebti, Managing Partner, Science Made Fun Dubai. Welcome to the programme.
Hello. Thank you. Welcome.
And Muna Khalid, Head of Science, or Science Teacher rather. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Have to point out you're both in your white coats today. We feel very lucky to have the scientists in the room. And we're also joined by Carmen Benton, Principal at Cascades Learning UAE. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we do want to talk quite a lot about science. And I guess Tim and I were just talking to you in between there, and we were saying science is something that's quite subjective. When you're younger, you do science as part of the curriculum. It's something that you have to do, but as you get older, for some people it's something that they want to leave behind because it's been a difficult subject. For me, I was terrible at science. I felt frightened of it. I didn't feel engaged. I felt like my mind was more suited to literature or history. And do you think now there's a different perception of scientists? You two are smiling, happy. Do you think there's maybe, I don't know, Muna, do you think you're a science teacher? Do you think people look at science differently now?
Yeah, because nowadays we try and make it more hands-on and more incorporating the kids into it. And we try as much as we can not to just make it theoretical, but actually also practical. Like, you get to participate, you get to get in there and do your own experiments, explore, use your curiosity. So it makes it more intriguing for the kids and for even young adults, you know, to like try as much as they can to get involved in science more than just social and like English and all that.
We'll make it more fun.
Make it more fun. Exactly.
See, that's what's interesting to me, because my kids are I guess not naturally, they don't naturally lean towards scientists, that they don't lean in that direction, to be honest with you, and I guess that's just their makeup. But my daughter in particular seems to be almost, not afraid, that's the wrong word, but there's definitely sort of trepidation when it comes to science, because, you know, you have to grasp concepts in a different way. It's very different to learning a paragraph or a poem from, you know, your English course or a book or whatever. And I suppose that's the same for lots of kids. So it is about experiencing and kind of bringing kids in a bit more, compared to my day of being told that you learn this formula and that's all you need to do. Do you know what I mean? That seems to be the way it goes. Is that how it's changing?
Yeah, that's how it's changing, actually. We're making more more practical, you know, for them to get to experience it more, so that it's just not about memorizing the theoretical part and that's it. So it's more complicated. We just have to know the formulas and that's it. Like, you don't get to understand it more, because there's that concept that when you hear, you forget. When you see, you remember. But when you actually do it, you get to understand it more. So that's the concept we are leaning towards nowadays.
And Ilham, I mean, Science Made Fun is the name of the company. Why is it so important that we make science fun? Do you think it's got an unfair reputation?
Because of what you said before, actually. Maybe we have noticed that in previous generation has been like a tough thing to really convince people to get into science. But like making it fun for kids, I mean, we can see that like they are totally open. They are totally open to experience, to put their glasses and see the lights and color of lights. They like to touch. They like to see like real insects. We even give them real insects in one of our workshops. At the beginning, they were afraid, but then when they saw the insect, they were like, even the mom were excited. What should we do about it? How can we feed it? So it was really fun. So we tried to make it interesting for the kids to grasp the concept behind the science. And it's me, I'm like more interested to know more about it.
So, and do you think there's maybe a gender divide? Do you think lots of boys might naturally be interested in the explosions and experiments, and some girls are maybe frightened off or see it as a male type of subject?
I really like don't see difference. It's the girls are tougher. Let me tell you, they are the ones who want to touch the insects and things like that. So really, like, no, it's just like like misconception.
Gender neutral.
I'd say there's probably some truth in that, NLT, when it comes to the insects.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, probably the same in my school. But yeah, I enjoyed the part where we used to, chemistry was okay, but the other stuff I wasn't so comfortable with. Carmen, you are a teacher as well as principal.
Yeah.
Have you found there's a change in tide towards sciences?
Definitely from when I was a student at school. It was, like you were saying, much more of a knowledge-based subject. And what we find now with teaching, it's much more about concepts, it's much more about skills. And so if we're coming to students from that level, we're not looking at that content, because as we all know, content's changing rapidly all the time. We are looking at building up their skills. So at Cascade Learning Centre, for example, we have students from 5 years old to 11 years old. And in their natural play, it's actually science that they're doing. But they don't know they're doing science. Mm. They're playing with goop. They are measuring. That we're actually looking at, they're making hypotheses, they're making predictions, they're coming up with solutions. They are still working with different substances. We have it all there, like you were saying, the insects and the rocks. We're bringing the outdoors indoors all the time. But that whole sensorial-based element of play, it's learning through doing. And most definitely we want students to not just take away knowledge content, but to be working on their skills and to be working on concepts. So that, because it's this, we need these students today to look after this planet that we're living on. This is living science. It's very vital. I feel it's very vital.
And messy play is something we're going to talk about a little bit more and in a little bit more detail. Mm. I guess most parents see their kids wanting to get mucky and think this is just a bit of a hassle. But actually behind it, it's not just about mess. It's about math and science. We'll talk about that. But right now it's 4:30.
Drive Live Talks Education.
Welcome to Drive Live Talks Education. Our guest today, Ilham Sebti, Managing Partner, Science Made Fun Dubai. The head science teacher there is Muna Khalid. She joins us too. And Carmen Benton, Principal of Cascades Learning UAE. And we were talking a few minutes ago about messy play, Carmen. I'll come back to you because I think in early years, that's something that's quite important for people to be involved in. And on the surface, it just looks like children playing, really. But there's a bit more to it than that, really.
Yes, we're trying to get children to use all of their senses. So they're actually learning through doing and learning through being. So we want them to literally smell and taste and touch. And it's all of those senses being ignited all together. We got the lovely blue bath goo in at Cascade Learning Centre for this winter camp that we had. And one of the students said to me, "It's too cold." So we went and put some hot water into it, and as soon as it was warmer, she was happy to play. So we are finding that many more students are coming through with sensory issues, and the messy play is very much about that. Also, just using fine motor skills instead of the big body gross motor skills. Fine motor is, for example, holding a pencil, holding tweezers, being able to do those fine movements. So the messy play is much more a collaborative, cooperative learning experience. And yes, we find, I mean, I remember as a mother, you don't want to get that shaving foam out of the bathroom, but it's a great sensorial experience for younger students.
You've just let something out of the can there, I think, Carmen. But it's interesting you make that point, because it's things like the fine motor skills of the pincer movement or grasping a pencil that we all take for granted. But there is a point in every child's life that all of a sudden you learn that. As a parent, you think, hold on a minute, you've really caught on to something there.
Yeah, we want people to be able to have that hand-eye coordination. Yeah. So, you know, when we're talking, what we were talking before about science, by the time we get to that high school level, all of those basic skills need to be in place. And that's not just the reading and writing skills. We need people to be able to manipulate with all of the materials that we're going to give them. And we find that students are a little bit scared of smell and noise. I mean, I was definitely a primary school teacher that used to let off explosions, and kids would get scared. Mm. So that's all the sensorial play that's happening. So in the early years, we definitely bring it back, and we make sure that students are active in their learning.
Can I just add one thing? When's a good age to encourage children to be, I don't know, to get into science? Because it strikes me that if you give your child two jugs and a container of some type, and they're in the bath, they're pouring in. Those are the early approaches of science into a child's
life. And mathematics as well. So we're bringing in capacity and we're bringing in weight. We're making a hypothesis. We're experimenting. I mean, it's all starting to happen. But, I mean, best science ever is kitchen science. So the kitchen science that we're doing is just constantly happening. When I think cooking is really great science, and you can just open up any kitchen cupboard. Baking soda is my pet favorite, along with corn flour and cornstarch and water.
Vinegar.
These you don't really need to go much further than the kitchen to do fantastic early science.
And it's quite easy. I remember as a child having these big books that showed you how to do some of these experiments. Yeah. And that part of science, that part I could get on board. And I guess, Ilham, you work with children aged 4 to 9. Mm. Is that kind of the age group we need to be looking at to make sure they have a lifelong interest in science, do you think?
Actually, it's because we are trying to enhance some concept, scientific concept, through our workshops. So, like, age 4, it's really challenging to get their attention. So like 20 minutes will be the maximum, but they have to touch a lot of things, like touching clouds, etc. So they really have to experiment, and we need to really play with our body language, etc., to enhance this concept and be really very patient with them. So that's why before age of 4, it's very hard for us to just trying to enhance a scientific concept and also make sure that the kids will be safe, that they're not going to eat things. Yes. So that's why we started as of the age of 4, actually.
And Muna, you're head science teacher. Yes. How do you come up with things that will keep them occupied at that age for 20 minutes that's still sort of scientific and has something you can build on in the future?
Well, the all-time favorite is slime. And so actually, it's actually scientific because we talk about viscosity when we are talking about slime. And actually, when we are in the process of making slime, we use glue, the school glue, the normal glue. And we mix it with borax, which is a sodium tetraborax. And so when we mix those two things, it's actually, the glue is a polymer. So while we are doing that, actually, to them, it's just, they're just excited to make the slime. But in the actual sense, they're actually doing a chemical reaction where the polymer of the glue is going to mix with the borax to make another unit. And that's when you get the slime, which is more viscous. And so they get to learn all about that with just one simple thing that they get so excited about, which is just slime to them. So
I know. Well, who doesn't want to play with slime at that age? It is sort of cool, and it generally looks cool.
Who
and
doesn't you want to play with slime at this age?
Well, speak for yourself, Tim. But so that's sort of looking at early years. Yeah. I guess the challenge then is you want future scientists. You want people that are going to be sat around this table, like you two, are passionate about science, capable of doing things, capable of experiments. Carmen, you said, they're going to have to run this planet. How do you maintain the interest?
Well, I think we start with those big life questions. We talk about concepts like water scarcity, and we pose it as a problem, and we don't come up with the answer. I think in my day, we were taught by someone at the front, this is what we're learning about water. What we do today is much more project-based learning. So for an excellent project, we have to start with a problem. And what is the problem? Well, we might run out of water. Where does water come from? How can we conserve water? What is water needed for? We can do that with three-year-olds. We can really start to help them have that appreciation. But if we stopped wanting to control learning and we wanted to teach children that they are trying to answer problems and solve it and go at their own rate and pace, it's very dynamic and exciting what happens. And just have it being the mother of an 11-year-old myself, I take him into museums and we start to watch corrosion and erosion, and we start to then go to the beach as a family and we see it. I think we as parents have a lot of responsibility to keep the planet as a real place. I know my son's become highly passionate about electric cars, and that's really, he's starting to have a conscience about our responsibility to look out for pollution in the world and insects and animals. And science to me is all of the biology. From our day, it was subject-based biology, chemistry, physics, whereas now I think we have to really make it a world life. It's really about what's happening in the real world. How can we make it real world learning?
And that's really the change, isn't it, I suppose? The change now is experiential, that's one side of it. It is that science is one big topic not to be scared of. It's not a chemical experiment that you really don't quite understand. If you mix these two things together, they explode. It's not something to be frightened of. It's something. It's almost as though you make it... it's a more immersive experience now, Muna.
Yes. That's why we, in ScienceMed Fund, we really try and integrate three basic concepts, which is observation, imagination, and curiosity. And as we all know, like, kids are really curious. They really love to ask questions. So that's how we really get them to like science from that age, by really like putting our effort and our interest into that three concepts that they're really into at that specific age, mostly curiosity. So we really try and make it sparkle,
which is the science scientific concept.
Yeah.
So every time we try to approach a program or a subject, we try to reinforce the scientific knowledge and technique of thinking for the kids, you know, to sparkle their curiosity, their observation, etc., which mainly was not maybe like the hypothesis at my time as well, you know, but this time is really reinforced even in schools.
And I guess that curiosity comes more natural to children than it would to most of us, the fact that they're thinking and asking questions all the time, because lots of things are still new as well, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, but then you reinforce, you know, you just like keep on asking those open questions and then like really like try to think outside the box, and depends on the subject, but you can really trigger the curiosity even more, you know.
I'm just going to suggest something. In the next segment, we need to have a break in a second, but I'm just thinking, what can we be doing if you have children and you want to bring science more into the home? What kinds of things can they be doing with some of the stuff that you've mentioned? We talked about vinegar, for example, cornflour, cornstarch, baking powder, that kind of thing. Not many people have borax, I suppose, at home these days, but, you know, safe ways that kids can experience science and you can encourage them into things. Can we think of a couple of things that we could be doing? I mean, this could be as simple as baking, I suppose, or cooking.
Making hokey pokey.
Yeah, you can see. Well, oblique is the...
There you go. That sounds like somewhere we need to explore in a few minutes. Drive Life Talks Education. Three guests here. Different approaches to learning about science. Trying to encourage, I suppose, the next generation of scientists and increase lab coat sales too. Ilham Sebti is here from Science Made Fun, as is Muna Khalid, and Carmen Benton is here from Cascade Learning.
This is Drive Live. Get in touch with the show.
Text us on 4001.
It is Drive Live Talks Education, and while we're talking about all things education, Dubai Schools and Childcare Show is your chance to find out more about Dubai's most outstanding schools, nurseries, after-school clubs and international schools. The show will give parents the chance to meet with schools and nurseries, principals, education experts. Some of the ladies we're talking to at the moment will also be there, so if you're interested in science, you can be sure to find them, grab them for a chat, and it's basically your chance to find out information, make an informed choice and give your child the best possible education. It's taking place Friday the 12th and Saturday the 13th of January, 10 till 6 at the Dubai World Trade Centre. Admission is free. If you want more details, you can visit schoolsandchildcare.com for more information. We will be broadcasting live from the event on Friday the 12th. And I think, Tim, we'll be in the safe hands of yourself.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, actually. Rick Bullamy is going to be there because you're going to... Where is it?
I don't like to talk about the fact I'm going to Jamaica in 2 days.
Off somewhere in the Caribbean for a few days, but that's on Friday afternoon, so we'll be live talking to lots and lots of people that are going to be at the show.
Yeah, and we had a chat with the Groovy group who were looking after it, and they were sort of saying, it's basically your idea, you know, the idea is come and have a nosy before you make a decision on what you want to do with your child's school, after school thing. Come and just have a look at them, see what you think, and make your own mind up for yourself, really. That's essentially what it is. Right now, though, we're talking about science. We're talking about the different approaches to learning science, how to make it fun, how to keep it engaging. And I think Tim's going to be taking part in an experiment. Are you?
Sorry, I'm just looking at the experiment thinking, how does that do that?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, fine.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, so what is this? Let me ask Ilham. You've just handed me a little plastic tub of something. Sorry, Muna, did you? Yeah, it was Muna. You've handed me a little white plastic tub of something. It's gloopy.
Yeah, it's actually oobleck. It's called oobleck.
Oobleck.
Yeah.
Which
it's a mixture of cornflour and water.
Zupf Oobleck is much better than the mixture of corn flour and water, isn't it? Yeah. So what is this, a scientific experiment?
Okay, it's actually, the scientific term for that, it's actually called a non-Newtonian fluid.
Okay.
It's actually somewhere in between a liquid and a solid.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. So it's sort of jelly-ish. So that's a way of showing children that this is what happens
exactly.
when
so
you make a solution.
When you try and tap on it, it's actually hard. But when you dip your finger inside, it's like a liquid.
So it's not really a liquid. It's not really.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's actually like quicksand.
Yeah.
It's like quicksand.
It looks. It's. That's
see,
the
I
most amazing. Look. Let me. I'll hold this up here.
Okay.
We'll film this in a second. But you put your finger in it and you think, oh, I'm going to come out with gloop all over my finger. But you don't.
Yes.
You just. It's like a semi liquid. So you just get a little bit on there. You try that. That's the
not
most
liquid,
amazing
it's
thing.
Not,
okay.
It's
this
solid.
Is making fantastic radio. We're going to try and describe it a little bit better than Tim just done. It looks as if it might be cream or something, doesn't it?
It looks just like a cream.
Like, yeah, you might pour it on your dessert, and oh, it feels so disgusting. It looks like a liquid.
Yeah,
and it's a bit more like squidgy.
Feels like something familiar, though, doesn't it?
Tim, it's really gross.
It's chalky.
Yeah.
So it's just corn flour and water.
Yeah, corn flour and water. You can make it at home and explore it with. Parents and kids can do it at home, and it's actually a very good example of when you want to try and explain about viscous and less viscous liquids and about non-Newtonian fluid. It's another example. It's like quicksand. That's how quicksand works, actually.
Wow.
I think as well, you said it's made from corn flour.
Yeah, corn flour and water.
Because lots of children do, I even know this and don't have any children, they see something like this and they just want to put it in their mouth. So if it's corn flour, it's okay.
It's okay.
Exactly. You know, it's something that they can get messy with, and it doesn't matter.
Most of our experiments are like made of kitchen product, you know, so it's really, really safe for the kids to play around and
And so this is how we get them in, by letting them touch and see and feel.
And imagine a huge thing.
We make a big one.
Yeah.
A big one?
Yes.
How
huge
big?
One.
What are we talking about now?
Like in a big bowl where they can just put their hands and try and knock on top of it.
Yes.
And
dip
their hands.
It's really messy.
I'd want
really
to put
messy.
Someone else in it. That's probably what I would try and do if I was playing this.
Who would you want to put in that exactly?
I can imagine.
Of all the people in this room, probably you, Tim.
But you know, it gets like a huge mess, and sometimes we get kicked out from the like school, even like school room, because we have to clean after, etc. But the kids love it.
Yeah.
Do you know the interesting thing about that though is you just handed me something that is in my kitchen: water, corn flour. Both of them are there. I've never done that before. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before. I've never thought of doing that before.
Yeah.
And all you do is bung corn flour and add a bit of water to it, and all of a sudden you've created a scientific experiment in your own home, and it's perfectly safe.
Yeah.
That's going to encourage parents. That's going to encourage children, I guess. Carmen, I want to ask you, because you mentioned a phrase which, where I come from, means clearly something completely different, but you said two words, hokey and pokey.
Hokey and pokey. So I'm from New Zealand, and we're very famous for hokey pokey ice cream, so I have to promote that. And really what that is caster sugar and golden syrup mixed together. Now the fun science part comes in when you add bicarbonate soda, and it literally froths up and reaches the top of the pot, and now you've got crunchy honeycomb.
Yes.
I remember doing that. That was making sort of honeycomb to eat. The fudge was my science experiment that failed in the kitchen,
but
they never
still
get that
tastes good,
right.
Even failed.
So I mean, what other things can you be doing in the home to encourage? So what other sort of, this is really good, this one that you've brought is really good. Is there any quick things that you can tell us about, Muna, that we could do in the home?
Yeah, another one, you can use water, food colouring and sugar. So with that you get
jelly.
To teach...
Jelly, actually, it's a jelly.
I'm trying to explain to them about the rainbow tube.
Ah, rainbow tube.
Yeah.
What's it called?
A rainbow tube.
Rainbow tube. Okay,
yes.
I want to hear about the rainbow tube.
So, you take a different... in one glass, you mix one spoon of sugar with water and maybe red food coloring.
Mm.
And another one, you mix water and 2 tablespoons of sugar. And third one, you can just leave it plain. And then when you mix all of them slowly in one tube, it actually separates. So with that, you get to explain to the kids about density. So they get to learn density, and it will be different colors. And you can make a rainbow from that. You can mix red, blue... Yeah, and you have a rainbow in the tube. It's cool. Yeah, exactly.
And I guess that's what all of these things are about. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a really, really young child or someone that's a little bit older, you want something that is cool or fun or exciting. And, you know, whether it's explosions or if it's a chemical reaction or if it's making something that you can eat, the fact that you see science working, I guess, is what you're going for.
Yeah.
I mean, Muna, is there anything that that's stood out for you, that any sort of reaction to any experiment or any kind of science that's really been something that'll stick with you? You've maybe helped one of the students or they've been fascinated by one of the experiments.
Yeah, they're always fascinated about, as she mentioned, the one where you mix jelly and water and they get to eat that. So you get like jelly gummy candies. So I love gummy candies. So it's one of my favorites. And another one is making volcano, where you get to mix vinegar and baking soda and some water. And the explosion is always so exciting for the kids. Yeah.
I think
so. I also love that.
That is definitely one that I remember from childhood. And we built the volcano out of paper mache or something, or what, chicken wire, I think it was. And then you had the toilet roll tube thing for the volcano to come out of. Glad to see nothing's changed, Tim.
Oh, I was going to say, your explanation of explosions is right up there.
Yeah, it's great. Well, that's all we've got time for on Drive Live Talks Education. Our guest today, Elham Sebdi, Managing Partner at Science Made Fun Dubai. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Also, Muna Khalid, Head Science Teacher there. Muna, thank you. And thank you for the experiments. Can we keep this?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we've also got Carmen Benton, Principal at Cascades Learning UAE. Carmen, thanks for joining us too.
Thanks for having me.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.